We're continuing our discussion of principles of Christian giving as found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We all know that it costs a lot of money to run a local church. Now, this message is not to be construed as a plea for money. I don't do those things. I know some men think they need to. They can do as God directs them, and I will do as God directs me. Rather, this is a study in principles regarding Christian giving. The principles of Christian giving found in 2 Corinthians 8:9 have nothing to do with tithing. We do believe that we should tithe, but that's not what's being taught in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Tithing, of course, is the practice of giving one-tenth of one's income to the Lord through the local church. What is under consideration in these chapters is a special offering. It is a one-time offering being given to the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they collected it every week, but it would be given at one time. The principles found in these chapters are applicable to other special offerings received by the church, but are not applicable to the weekly support of the local church and should not be understood as replacing the practice of tithing. We've already seen some principles of Christian giving in 1 Corinthians 16 for this one-time gift to the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. We have seen that giving for this special offering is to be done in and through the local church. That's God's program for today. We have also seen that the time of giving is the first day of the week. That's when churches would meet, on the Lord's Day, Sunday, not Saturday. We're not under the law any longer. We have seen that the giving is to be regular on the first day of the week. We've seen that the participants in the giving are every one of you. We have seen that the basis for this special offering, which is over and above the tithe, is as God has prospered you. And we have seen that the manner of the giving is to be a voluntary, free will offering to God. We've seen in verse 1 that giving is a grace. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want you to know of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, that's northern Greece, cities like Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. We've also seen in verse 2 that giving is to be sacrificial, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. We've furthermore seen in verses 3 and 4 that giving is to be done willingly, for to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In addition, in verse 5, we have seen that giving is to be done spiritually. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. As we continued in verses 6 through 8, we've also seen that giving is to be done voluntarily. Verses 6 through 8 say, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Next, we have seen in verse 9 that giving is to follow the example set by Christ. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Finally, it's not the end of the message, by the way. Finally, this is the end of the previous review of previous statements. We've seen in verses 10 through 15 that giving is to be done according to ability. Remember, tithing was assumed. This is over and above the tithe, but it's according to ability. Everybody can afford to tithe because that's what God expects and he enables. But some cannot give much beyond that. That's fine. Give as you are able. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God's looking for a willing mind. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. As we continue with verses 16 through 24, we see that church funds are to be handled completely above board. We trust those men that handle our finances. If we did not trust them, we would not permit them to do what they are doing. But we also follow procedures that demonstrate their innocence in any wrongdoing. And it's always wise to realize that. We give reports. We have more than one counting the money. We handle things carefully. We give credit where credit is due at the same time. I know some churches have had problems. We're blessed that we have men that we trust. We're thankful for that. According to verse 16, Paul is thankful that Titus wanted to go to Corinth to help with the collection. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Thanks be to God is used to express Paul's gratitude toward God the Father for his work in Titus' heart on behalf of the Corinthian believers. And as you know, we are thankful for the men in our church who manage the finances. Which put refers to God the Father and means the one who put, in the sense of the one who gave, granted, or bestowed the same earnest care. Speaks of an earnest commitment in discharging an obligation in the sense of the same eagerness, the same earnestness, the same diligence, willingness, or zeal. It is the same earnest care for the Corinthian believers that Paul had. Into the heart of Titus is in or within the heart of Titus and suggests deep within Titus. For you, is on behalf of you. God burdened Titus for this ministry with the Corinthian believers, just as he had burdened Paul for this ministry. You do know, don't you, that God consistently burdens people to do his will. Philippians 2:13 puts it this way, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you don't want to do something, and you're a believer and you're surrendered to the Lord, God isn't leading you to do it. But if he wants you to do it and you're a surrendered believer, he will put the will in your heart to do what he wants you to do. When God calls a man to be a pastor, it's not just a job. He wants to do it. He wills to do it. He determines to do it, and he gives himself to it. It's a calling that is a privilege. Why stoop to be a president when you can be a pastor? According to verse 17, Paul's urging was accepted by Titus, but Titus was more zealous and went to Corinth of his own accord. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. For is the word ordinarily translated because, and is to be understood in this sense here as well. Indeed is used to emphasize the contrast between he accepted the exhortation and between of his own accord he went unto you. He accepted indicates approval or conviction by accepting in the sense of he was receptive of it. He was open to it, or he approved of it. What Titus accepted was the exhortation, which speaks of a strong request in the sense of the appeal or the request, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. Being indicates cause, and it's understood in the sense of because, since, or inasmuch as he was more forward. It pertains to being more conscientious in a duty or obligation. It's understood in the sense of more eager, more zealous, more earnest, or more diligent. Of his own accord, where his refers to Titus, suggests that it was his own decision. He went unto you as he went out to you. Verse 18, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Verses 18 through 22 describe two fellow believers who would travel to Corinth with Titus. Verses 18 through 21 describe one of them, and verse 22 describes the other one. According to verse 18, the first believer has been praised in the gospel ministry throughout all the churches, and we have sent him, suggests we have sent someone together with Titus, or we have sent someone at the same time with Titus, the brother. The one who has been sent out with Titus is not named. His name is not important to us. God knew who he was, and so did Paul and Titus. Inasmuch as Paul does not name him, speculation regarding his identity is not necessary. In fact, it's worthless. We have no way of knowing who he was. It seems that Titus and this brother are carrying with them this letter of 2 Corinthians, which Paul has not yet finished writing. However, by the time they arrive in Corinth, Paul will have completed the letter and will have sent the letter with them. Their brother, whose praise is understood in the sense of whose approval or whose recognition, as indicated by the italics, has been supplied by the translators. It's implied in the context. whose praise is in the gospel suggests in the ministry of the gospel or in the proclamation of the gospel. And his praise is known throughout all the churches. It indicates that this brother was well known in many churches and was therefore an appropriate and trusted individual to participate in this collection for the impoverished believers in Jerusalem. We see in verse 19, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Verse 19 continues the description of this believer who was sent by Paul to aid in the gathering, the collection in Corinth. He was chosen by the churches to travel with Paul in this ministry, which is administering to the glory of the Lord and the declaration of the Corinthians' prepared mind. And not that only refers to the fact that this brother mentioned in verse 18 is the one whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the church. And it sets up a contrast with the statement introduced by, but also, which suggests, but in addition, who was chosen is the one who was chosen, the one who was selected, or the one who was elected of the churches or by the churches. It was the churches who chose, selected, or elected this man for the task. To travel is to be a traveling companion with us, where us refers to Paul. It shows possession and is our, meaning he is our traveling companion. With this grace suggests with this gracious gift, it's the money that they're collecting for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem, which is administered by us. It's understood in the sense of the one which is administered or ministered by us, meaning by Paul himself. Paul had taken on himself the responsibility for gathering and delivering this collection to the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. To the glory of the same Lord is to the glory of the Lord himself. Glory is understood as honor, as enhancement, or recognition of status in the sense of fame or recognition, renown, prestige, or reputation. To the glory of the same Lord. In Paul's writings, the Lord refers to the Lord Jesus Christ and connects glory with ready mind. As indicated by the italics, a declaration has been supplied by the translators. It's a declaration of your ready mind, and it suggests an exceptional interest in being of service. We can't wait to serve the Lord, you see, in the sense of your willingness, your readiness, or your goodwill. The same term was used in verse 11 where it's translated a readiness, and in verse 12 where it's translated a willing mind. It's also translated forwardness in 2 Corinthians 9:2. We have in our church a bunch of people with a mind to serve the Lord. They care for our buildings. They care for our fellowships. They care for our business. They care for the Lord. They even care for me. 2 Corinthians 8:20 says, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us. Verse 20 is continuing the description of one believer who was sent by Paul to aid in gathering the collection in Corinth. Avoiding indicates purpose or time in the sense of in order to avoid, for the purpose of avoiding, in order to try to avoid, or for the purpose of trying to avoid, or if showing time, while avoiding, while we try to avoid, and what Paul was trying to avoid is this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. He didn't want anybody to have the opportunity to accuse him of something he has not done. No man is no one or nobody, and it certainly may refer to a female as well as to a male, should blame us, means might find fault with us or criticize or censure us, meaning Paul himself. In this abundance speaks of the great amount of money in the collection. Now, we have no way of knowing how much money was involved in this collection, but apparently it was a good deal of money, which is administered by us, meaning by Paul. The same term is used in verse 19 and refers to Paul's having taken on himself the responsibility for gathering and delivering this collection to the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. Verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We know, don't we, that the Lord watches everything we do. Maybe you don't realize it, but others are watching everything you do also. Verse 21 indicates that the handling of money should be characterized by integrity, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Providing for is in contrast to avoiding in verse 20. It suggests giving careful thought to something in the sense of taking thought for, taking into consideration or having regard for. It's understood in the sense of for the purpose of providing, for the purpose of taking thought for the purpose of taking into consideration, or for the purpose of having thought for. Or it could show time while providing, while taking thought for, while taking into consideration, or while having regard for honest things, good things, noble things, praiseworthy things. We want to provide thought. We want to provide careful consideration that things are done honestly, not only, but also sets in sight, in the sight of the Lord, in emphatic contrast with in the sight of men. It means that thought should be given to good things from both the Lord's viewpoint and also from a human viewpoint. Not only in the sight of the Lord indicates that care should be taken to ensure that everything is done properly. In the Lord's sight, you and I should always seek to do whatever we do so that it is due or that it is done properly in the Lord's sight. But also indicates that additional care should also be taken to do things properly in the sight of humanity. Likewise, you and I should always seek to do whatever we do so that it is done properly in the sight of humanity. I don't mean that we're seeking to please people. I mean that we're seeking to please the Lord by doing things properly. We also are taking steps to protect ourselves from undue criticism. We trust our men, but they take steps to ensure that nobody can legitimately criticize them. In both cases, in the sight of is understood in the opinion of or in the judgment of. The Lord refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, and men is the generic term for human beings, so it includes females as well as males. Care should be taken to handle and or manage finances in a way which the Lord, who is omniscient and sees everything, regards as proper. Care should also be taken in churches to handle and or manage large sums of money in a way which human beings who do not know or see everything regard as proper. This avoids raising suspicions that there may be some impropriety. It could be that the false apostles were insinuating that Paul was using this collection for his own financial benefit rather than for the saints in Jerusalem. It could also be that Paul was seeking to ward off any possible criticism by giving no appearance of evil. If you want to cause problems in a church, mess around with the finances, and you'll find that you have stirred something up that you should never have stirred up. We have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. According to verse 22, Paul sent a second believer with Titus and with the believer mentioned in verses 18 through 21. This believer or this brother is characterized by diligence. And we have sent with them, where we is Paul, and them suggests Titus and the brother mentioned in verses 18 through 21. Our brother, where our refers to Paul, refers to this second individual whom Paul sent to Corinth regarding the collection. This individual's name is not revealed. Again, Paul had not yet actually sent him. These three men, Titus and the two fellow believers, would be sent with this letter when Paul finished writing it. He's in the process of writing it as he writes these things down. But by the time the Corinthian believers receive the letter, he will have been sent with them. Whom we have approved is whom we approved, whom we proved or whom we tested. And it suggests that we drew a conclusion regarding his worth on the basis of testing. You want to be careful that people demonstrate that they can be trusted before you put them into positions where they have financial responsibility. The last thing you want to find out is that you took and placed somebody with sticky fingers into counting the church's money. Oftentimes, is used to describe we have proved. It's understood in the sense of many times, often, or frequently. We have oftentimes proved him to be diligent, suggests conscientious in discharging a duty or obligation, eager, zealous, earnest in many things, and suggests in many matters or many situations or perhaps in many ways. But now much more diligent suggests now being even more conscientious in discharging a duty or obligation in the sense of being more eager, being much more zealous or much more earnest. Upon the great confidence suggests a state of certainty about something to the extent of placing reliance on, and it's understood in the sense of with much trust or with much confidence. And that's what we have in our financial officers. We have much trust and we have much confidence, and they will not betray that trust or confidence, which I have in you. Where you is plural and refers to the Corinthian believers, refers to confidence, and it's literally the confidence unto you. Verse 23. Whether do any inquire of Titus, he's my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. In verse 23, Paul describes Titus as his partner and fellow helper for the Corinthian believers, and he describes the two brothers as the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Whether is set in contrast to or. Whether, followed by or, is literally if, followed by if. They are both translations of the same word, which means if. Both whether and or introduce conditions. The first condition is, if any do inquire of Titus, and its conclusion is, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. The second conditional statement is, if our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. The structure of both conditional statements indicates that for sake of discussion, they are assumed to be true. Whether they are actually true is not clear. It's impossible to determine today whether anyone ever inquired into the qualifications of these three individuals. Therefore, whether should be understood in the sense of assuming that. Now, we're not assuming that they were trustworthy. We're assuming that someone might inquire into their credentials of being trustworthy. As indicated by the italics, any do inquire has been supplied by the translators of Titus, concerning Titus, or about Titus. As indicated by the italics, he is, has also been supplied by the translators. My partner suggests that Titus takes part in Paul's ministry as Paul's companion or sharer, and fellow helper is, and fellow worker. Concerning you is for you, with reference to you, or with respect to you. Or introduces the second conditional statement, inasmuch as it is not clear whether anyone will actually inquire into the qualifications of these two, or should be understood in the sense of assuming that. Our brethren is simply our brothers and refers to the two men described in verses 18 through 22. Again, be inquired of is in italics, indicating that it's been supplied by the translators. It is implied by the context. They are, which refers to the two men whom Paul has sent to Corinth with Titus, has likewise been supplied by the translators. The messengers is the word ordinarily translated apostles and means delegates or envoys. Although they are apostles of the churches which sent them, they are not apostles of Jesus Christ in the same sense as Paul and the 12 apostles. The term is used of men being sent on a mission. They are the messengers of the churches. It indicates that the churches have sent these two messengers and has been supplied to connect the description of the two delegates of the churches with the glory of Christ, which seems best understood as the reflected radiance of Christ. It is another way of describing these two messengers of the churches. Their lives are Christ-like, and he is seen in them in the way they live or conduct their lives. You and I also need to have lives that are Christ-like, lives in which Christ is seen by the way we live and by the way we conduct our lives. The way to get that is by studying the Word of God, submitting your heart and mind to it, and the Holy Spirit of God will produce that Christ-likeness in your life. As we move into verse 24, which concludes our chapter, we see, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. In verse 24, Paul calls upon the Corinthian believers to demonstrate to Titus and the two brethren, as well as to the other churches, the proof of their love and of Paul's boasting on the Corinthian believers' behalf. Wherefore, draws an inference from what has been said regarding these three that Paul is sending to Corinth, Titus and the two brothers, how that they are godly men and his fellow servants. It's understood in the sense of therefore, accordingly, consequently, then or so. Show ye, suggests show, demonstrate, or give proof of. The tense of show indicates that its action should be carried out at once and without delay. To them, where them refers to Titus and the two brethren who are accompanying, who are coming from Paul to Corinth, is unto them and before the churches. The churches are pictured as observing what is happening in Corinth. You'd better believe that others are observing what is happening in Hendersonville in Calvary Baptist Church too. We have people from all over the country who are watching our services. We might have more on the internet watching than we have in our auditorium. We're glad for every one of them. We hope that they'll all live their lives for the Lord in accordance with the scriptures. Show to them the proof. It's the noun form of the word translated show ye. The proof is something which compels the mental acceptance of something in the sense of the demonstration of your love, which refers to the Corinthian believers and indicates something they are to demonstrate, and of our boasting on your behalf is, and of our pride on your behalf, where yours is plural and refers to the Corinthian believers, is concerning you or about you. Well, we've come to the end of chapter 8. Let's give generously. Let's always do it scripturally, really realizing that all of our money belongs to God. Yet let's use what he has given us responsibly to bring glory to him. And we've come to the end of chapter 24. Let's be careful how we give as well as how we live. Take your hymnals and turn, please, to number 325. I guess I didn't pray. I'm getting anxious to start our informational meeting. But we'll pray. We'll give the ladies an opportunity to get to the instruments. Our Father, thank you for this material in 2 Corinthians 8 that teaches us principles of Christian giving. Help us always to give to your work in the manner in which you would have us give. Thank you for the privilege you give to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.